His name is Ken Hinkley, and he joins us on Gillette Trade Radio. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, congratulations, mate. 12 months ago, would you have ever thought that you would have been in the second round of the finals?
No, we probably didn't. If we'd been really truthful and honest, we'd say not likely, but we weren't prepared to put any limits, but we probably exceeded where we thought we might have got to.
When you came in, Ken, what was your main thing you wanted to, I guess, get across to the playing group who had just finished a pretty poor year? What was your main message going into a year to sell hope to them?
Brandon, as much as about anything, it was about just being really professional and being prepared to do what's right and do the little things well over and over again. And that was what we were going to have to do in our pre-season. We had to make every session count, and we had to make sure we improved with each session. And we couldn't afford to take one session off or have one poor session. So we really wanted to lift the standard as to what we expected from training and how they wanted when to go about their training and then hopefully turn that into their games.
What did you learn from the final you lost to Geelong? Because for a half of football, you guys were amazing. And then, as we know, they're a super side. They came out in that third quarter and were devastating. What did you say to your players after that game?
Look, we talked a little bit about that we know our best was good enough, but we've still got to improve. And we've got to work hard, really hard on our defensive stuff against the elite sides. You know, and we watched the grand final on the weekend and you see Hawthorn's ability to use the ball. We've seen Geelong's ability firsthand to be able to run through you with some kamikaze style of football. And we just weren't quite able to make the adjustments that we need to do with that. So we learned that we've still got a little way to go with a lot of that stuff, but we know that our good stuff will cause sides some grief.
Now let's have a look at the trade period and the free agency period we're about to get into. Mitch Robinson today was reported in some media as being a target of yours. Shane Rogers, the recruiting manager from Carlton, has at all said he hasn't heard anything about this. Is Mitch Robinson a possible guy you might chase?
Oh, no, I think in any of that stuff, you know what this time of the year is like, and there's a lot of people's names get mentioned. And Jason Cripps has been in touch with lots of managers throughout the whole year and with lots of players. So at some stage, you know, you have a discussion about a lot of players. Whether that means you're actually going to go and progress too far with any of those deals is, you know, the percentages say not. So there's not much chance that those sorts of things are going to go ahead for us. We really targeted players that we think are going to perhaps help our list and build our list to get us to a point where, as you said before, that we need to improve to go further.
Well, who do you need? What are you targeting right now as a positional player? As in what position rather than any specific player?
I know we're looking for some outside run and some outside use. There's no doubt about that. And it's been reported that we have some interest in Matt White, and we have some interest in Jared Pollack, and we've said before that we wouldn't mind being able to increase our power forwards if we possibly could. So they're on your wish list amongst about another 15 things. But, you know, the two or three that we identify the most are the first couple, and they're the ones that we're keenest on.
Tom Logan had a really good year this year, and he's one player that seems to be maybe on the move. There's a contract offered to him. Where's that at the moment for Tom Logan?
Brandon, we expect Tom to be with us. Tom loves Port Adelaide, and I couldn't imagine Tom's at all moving on, and he'll be a part of our future going forward. He's one of those players that has survived off the back of one-year contracts. He understands that. He knows that he's that type of player. He's going to be very desperate for every time he plays, and he deserves an opportunity to go on with us, which we hope that he'll accept.
Jay Schultz, do you think you need a little bit of help up forward with him? He had a very good year and was very effective, but do you think going forward you might need to make it a little bit of support around him?
Yeah, no doubt. That's the one of the areas. I mean, and Johnny Butch is the one that we've put a lot of hope in and, you know, a lot of time into already, and yet his body's failed him for a big part of his first 3 years. So he just needs to get a good run. Look, for the first time, he's actually going to go into a pre-season where he's had very little things to recover from. He's going to go in and be able to do a full pre-season. We'll build that up nice and controlled and hopefully get him to a point that he can perform. And we know Mason Shaw as a first year for us last year. We're really excited about what Mason might be able to bring to us eventually. But again, he's a project player. So we've got some question marks about who we have got because Jay's getting older. He's getting to 28. So we've got to start to think that, you know, we've got to be progressing and being ready for the future. So, we certainly would like to give him some help because Westy plays a different role for us. Westy is a 200-centimetre player, but he certainly gets used in a lot of different roles and a key position for it. And we don't want to do that with Westy if we can restrict that opportunities to do that. We want to make sure that we can use Westy where we like.
Ken, we see a lot of players come into the competition, take 2, 3, maybe even 4 years to settle, to build a body, to build aerobic capacity to play AFL at the elite level. Chad Wingard, in his second year of league footy, has won a club best and fairest. Why is he different to the other young players that come into the system?
Oh, look, I don't know that he's so much different. I mean, we see some really elite juniors come into the program and they seem to fit in pretty easily, and you know, and they make the adjustment. And some do have, you know, with the old second year blues. Well, Chad hasn't certainly had those issues, but he's such a competitor, and the best ones usually are. They're usually really fierce in their competitive nature, and you know, wants to win at every opportunity he gets. So he's been able to handle that pressure and, you know, and enjoy his football. And that's come out in his results this year as a second-year player. And you've seen, you know, even Ollie in his first year, and you look at Jago Mira up on the Suns. There's some players, Dion Prestia and blokes like that, who have come, and they're the ones that I know. They come in and actually handle it quite well. So there's no real, yeah, you can't make it this far or you can make it this far. Chad's been an exceptional year. And yes, to win a best and fairest in his second year is an outstanding performance. But one that we're not totally surprised by.
Ken, when you coach players, and you're a beautiful, graceful player off halfback, a freewheeling player, used to use the ball well, and a former coach of mine, Terry Wallace, was a hard in and under player, but he seemed to like players who were complete opposite of him. When you have players on your list, do you like them to play like you or a different type of way?
You've been watching black and white footage, Brandon. A long time ago. No, I think as a coach you have a real understanding of the whole thing, the whole mix, and you do need to have a balance of some players who finish you from the outside, but you can't afford to ignore, you know, you're in and under your contested ball players. You know, they really do start the game off for you. So I suppose you have every coach, I think, has a real favouring towards making sure they can win their own ball, and then you build your list from there out. So it's not the other way around. I don't think we go from the outside in. We certainly go from inside out.
Ken, Alan Dydack, obviously a South Australian, has plied his trade at Collingwood for so long now. He continues to say that he wants to continue playing AFL football after not being picked back up by the Magpies. Would you be open to having a look at Alan Dydack?
Oh, look, it just doesn't fit out the criteria that we'd be looking at. I mean, we look at players that can be around 5-6 years, and you know, we've got to keep building our list that way. I'm sure he would be at enormous value to some club, and you know, I'm sure someone will give him that opportunity. But for us, with what we're trying to build, unfortunately, it just doesn't fit with the profile of our list, and that's not something that we're probably going to go after, and we've just got to make sure, because if it wasn't Alan Dydack, you'd be thinking, and if Paul Chapman was to become available, you think those sort of players can certainly add to a club that are right there and ready to go. But what we're doing is not that at the moment.
What would you say to somebody above you, operations manager, or maybe David Koch, someone had come to you and said that we are going to offer someone a 9-year deal to join our football club, and that our two key forwards, our two prize free agent recruits in the last 2 years, we're going to get 23-24% of the salary cap. What would be your first thought?
It's not something that, you know, it's not something you even, for me, you start to even think to entertain, because it's just, you know, it's such a long period of time. From my point of view, I think we've just got to be really careful that we make really good decisions and really balanced decisions, and to put those sorts of things out there for us. Again, I'm not the Sydney Football Club, though, so their position is much different to us. So it's something that if you're sitting there, so you would perhaps have quite a different view than what we certainly do at Port Adelaide.
Ken, just before we let you go, heavily involved at Geelong, as we know, and they're a team, and we talked a lot about the culture of football clubs today, and they've got a great group of guys that have been so successful, who for so long took under the odds, I guess, when it comes to market value, and they stuck around to win a flag. Would it affect the culture if there was one guy or two guys that got a lot more when you've been accepting under the odds to stay together as a premiership unit?
Oh, again, hypothetical for me. I suppose at some point there'd be players ask a few questions. It would only be natural, I'd imagine. But, Geelong boys, as you say, they've stuck together. Gary did leave Geelong and went up to the Gold Coast, and no one doubts, you know, he had to make a decision that was great for his future for the long term, and his football certainly improved with it. I don't think there's any problems there. But, you know, the common sense and human nature would say there'd be some people sitting there thinking, not quite sure.
Hey, Ken, no, we can't wait for trade period and free agency to really really get going. And we believe that Matt White's about to sign a contract with the Port Adelaide Football Club. How close are you to, and you know you mentioned it, but how close are you to getting him over from Richmond?
Yeah, no, look, we're really excited that we think we're going to be in a pretty healthy position to get that to happen, because, again, when you build a list, you build it with needs. And when we looked at our needs and thought that a Matt White type of player, the way he was able to finish the back half of this year and the way he played, and he was voted their most improved player the other night, we think he would certainly add to us. So we would love to think that we can get that done. Yes, we've had good, healthy discussion with him, and he's had good discussions back to us. We think that at some stage, hopefully that may be able to happen, but again, until Friday comes about, nothing official can happen, and we can't lock anything in, but we're really confident that he will add to our team if we can get him over the line.
Yeah, I play with Matty White. I think he's a terrific player, and he'd be a great fit down there, because what he is, he's an elite endurance athlete, but he's also lightning quick. And as a forward, I found, and obviously you'd love to have your forwards lead up and get hit on the chest quite often, Matty White's the sort of player who, when he's on the run and he's running really fast, he can lower his eyes and hit the forward. So he's not one of those players that run and carry and then just bomb it. He's a very elite user of the footy when he puts his eyes down, Ken.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we like, he's a great character, Brandon. You know him. He's a fantastic person. And that's hopefully the number one thing we want to bring into our club is those type of people. But he also fits some other needs. And, you know, and we've seen him play and blanket Stephen Hill.
Hey, Ken, when sorry, mate, continue, sorry.
And really put a player like that and restrict his input to the game. So there's some players that have caused us some grief throughout this year, and we feel that he can add to two or three spots in our side. But we really identified him, and hopefully we do get it done, that we really identified him for a need for our team to improve, and we think he'll provide that.
Sounds like you're fairly confident.
Yeah, look, we are, but nothing can be officially done or ticked off totally until Friday, because as we've seen in football, and we all know it, things change and people change their minds and different things happen. And we're very hopeful that that won't be the case. But as I said, until Friday, we can't officially say that's going to happen.
In today's day and age, it's a bit different now because you've got the sub and not every player is suited to playing a sub. You want one of those really quick players that can come on and do some damage, maybe in a quarter and a half, maybe in just a quarter of football. And Matt White's a guy who has been able to do that in the past. Are you now a little bit, I guess, front of mind that you have to sort of look at guys if you bring them in, knowing that if they do have to play the sub role, they have to fit that role as well?
Oh, yeah, well, look, I suppose it's not. Look, when you go into selection, you never go in there to pick your sub first. You know, you do certainly pick your best side to get it right. Now, we've used Kane Mitchell a lot this year ourselves, and he's been incredibly exciting for us when he's come on and played a sub. I think he's had 7 or 8 games as sub and influenced each of those games. But it is a role now that's becoming a little bit more tactical, I think. I think once we used to perhaps pick even the most flexible player, or I think now we're actually looking at it a little bit differently and wanting to make sure we can have an impact player as much as anything come onto the ground and help you get going or continue on the work that you've been doing. So, yeah, we look at it slightly differently, but we're certainly not looking at a Matt White in that way. We're looking at him as being a four-quarter player.
Hey, what's the conversation when you ask a player or you tell a player he's going to be the sub? Does he ever try and plead his case that he should be out there for the opening bounce, or does he just cop it on the chin and understand it's a fairly important role now?
Yeah, no, I think the players, again, like anything, like when years ago the interchange was a bit of a place you didn't want to even start. Well, now that's accepted much better. The sub's certainly getting accepted much better. And I can guarantee you one thing. The player who gets picked as the sub is much happier as the sub than he is as the 23rd man.
Hey, would you be, it's a good point. Would you be prepared to give up your number 13 draft pick for a power forward like Jesse White from the Swans?
Oh, look, we've said that it's unlikely for us to want to do anything with our first round selection because we're a development club and that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in our own and develop them the best way we possibly can. But you'll never get there and say never because you're just not quite sure what is on the table. And, you know, if you said to me right now, it's Jesse White for our first round pick, it's not something we're going to do. It's not something we're going to entertain. So we want to make sure that we maintain our number one, our first round draft pick every year, that it's possible for us to do that. And, you know, we're not going to say we're not going to ever do it, but we're really reluctant to do it.
But Jesse White would be an option, in particular the way that he finished the year for the Swans?
Look, he'd certainly be one of those players that you'd look at, but again, me 100% saying to you, that's not a deal that I'd like to do.
And any other key forwards that might be front of mind, maybe above Jesse White in the pecking order?
Buddy Franklin, I think, is busy.
So. Oh, well, hang on a second. The AFL are chatting to his management now, so they might block that deal. So I know you won't give him a 9-year deal. You already said that. But maybe a 6 or 7 to get him to Adelaide. You don't have the cost of living, but, you know, he could live in Glenelg or somewhere trendy like that.
We have a few other issues, too, with the amount of money we have to pay players to make sure that they're all happy. So that's something we can do.
Ken, we appreciate your time on Gillette Trade Radio. Congratulations again. 12 months ago, the club was struggling a little bit both on and off the field. You were able to turn it around, had a great year, made the finals, knocked off the powerhouse at the MCG, had another powerhouse pretty much done and dusted at halftime, just ran a little bit out of steam, but the building blocks are there, and we look forward to seeing a very successful Port Adelaide side at Adelaide Oval. Actually, are you excited about Adelaide Oval, Ken?
Oh, look, Adelaide Oval's incredibly exciting for the whole state and for the city of Adelaide. You know, to go there and play football to our old home, almost we're going home, and we're really excited by that, and we look forward to the opportunity to be there, and the Adelaide city is going to come to life with Adelaide Oval there, and hopefully the Port Adelaide Football Club's going to grow with it.
Tell you what, it cuts down on some travel time.
Yeah, it does make it very good for everyone, and you know, it's a walk across the bridge and you're at Adelaide Oval. It's, you know, it's like being in Melbourne. I'm here now at the moment. You know, to be able to go to Etihad or go to the MCG, it's just a walk, and it's a great place and a great atmosphere for football. And Adelaide Oval will be a really exciting place.
Ken, appreciate it. Congratulations again, mate, and we might catch up again in the next couple of weeks.
Good on you, boys. Good luck.
Ken Hinckley, the coach of the Port Adelaide Football Club on Gillette Trade Radio. We are going to get to a break. 0-3-8-8-2-5-6-6-8-1. The Motorola open line is open. All thanks to Gillette. The Gillette trade period where the best trades can be debated, but the best shaves cannot. All thanks to Fusion Pro Glide. Gillette's number one on sensitive skin.